Welcome to Making Room, a podcast inspiring people to accelerate change by being a catalyst, honoring creativity, and acting with courage. We are making room for the greatest potential of our community. Welcome, you are welcome here. Welcome to this open door, dear. Our hands are reaching out for you. The floor is clear and we've made room for you.
Welcome back to Making Room. We are so excited for today's conversation where we bring back Nate Sally from Audible Coaching and Consulting. And Nate is an executive coach. Some might call it leadership coaching, but he's got an amazing approach to really aligning people with their purpose and values. And we thought, why wouldn't we just in our own journey of growth and seeing what our potential is, have a live coaching session with him? So today we're going to pick right up where he's sharing a little bit more about his approach and how he does things. And then we go right into where he's having a live coaching session with our team. And just want to invite you to really kind of participate as you listen and you're hearing from us and me around things we're grappling with and how might it be of service to you as you align further to what you care about and your leadership. So we're excited and we'll let Nate take it away right here.
When you think about coaching, there are different types of coaching, right? Sometimes people need a health and wellness coach, or somebody needs a real estate coach, right? Or whatever the case may be, a financial coach. Right. For me, I take a very, a holistic approach, I would say, and we look at all domains of your life. We look at your personal, we look at your family, we look at it from a professional standpoint, we look at it from a community standpoint, what things you're looking to do and how you're looking to serve and make a difference, because that plays a huge part into how fulfilled you feel in your everyday life and in our everyday, purpose in life. So we look at the big picture, and we have, X's and O's type conversations as well, but we're not just looking at that. We're looking at the human being, and I'm a firm believer that if there's a more fulfilled employee in your workplace, they're going to bring more to the table. They're going to be more efficient when they show up because they feel more valued as a human being first and foremost. So that's the thing that I strive to bring to the table that may be a little different from other executive coaches who are kind of focusing on the metrics and making sure we hit this goal. I tell people when I come in, hey, I'm not going to promise you that you're going to make $1 billion because you're working with me, but I can promise you that your individuals will feel more fulfilled and understand their value when they step foot in this door, and that typically turns out to work out well for everyone involved when it's done the right way.
That's great. Sometimes in the work that I've done around it and continue to do it, it could be about possibility, right? And I love what you said, because I've had conversations where Nate's done some coaching with me, and most recently, I'm going to be leaving for a trip to Paris tomorrow, and I almost canceled the trip, and I'm going to a writing workshop, and I called Nate because I wasn't necessarily fed up, but I was grappling. Mm-hmm. I was kind of stuck, and part of me was, what happens if I go? What if I get literally stuck over there? Is this the right time? It's costly. And I was beginning to lean towards not going. And I kind of called Nate thinking he would just agree with me.
Hoping.
No, he's just going to reaffirm that. And he goes, hey, let's talk about that. I was like, all right. But what he helped me see was, one, there was some fear, and that I didn't know how it would turn out. It was very new for me. It's a new course. And I told a friend earlier, you asked me one of the best questions anyone's ever asked for a tough decision. He said, what decision have you made similar to this in the past, and how did it go? And it occurred to me that a similar big decision was when I decided to climb Kilimanjaro. But same thing, I said I was going, I told them I wasn't going, and then 3 weeks I said I was going. And it turned out to be one of the most transformative trips of my life. So we talked through those similar, I'll call my stuff, right? In the coaching world of, fears, can't control it. All of that was coming up to say, well, let me gravitate to certainty. And I think great development and really great coaches, and what you've done for me and many others, is you take people, you walk side by side with mm-hmm. them through uncertainty, mm-hmm. but the uncertain path should honor their values and their outcomes. Mm-hmm. And you did that, so I appreciate that, because I'll be flying out tomorrow.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Great. That's awesome. That's great. So if we get some of this, Shivani, I get some of this executive coaching.
Yeah.
Can we go to Paris? Yeah. Climb Mount Kilimanjaro. You live a different life than I live.
Yeah, I have a meeting tomorrow. I don't know about you, Brendan.
Yeah, I got to pick up the kids. I love it.
That's good.
That's awesome.
No, that's good. That's awesome. It's one of those things, honestly, when it comes to coaching, and John does a lot of the same things with me, you know,
right.
And it's not even intentional. It's just, if I bring something to his attention, it's certain questions that just come to mind. And honestly, all the best coaches that I know, it's just a part of who they are, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like they're trying to be this coach or, hey, buddy, let me come coach you. Like,
right.
It's just, if you say something, there's a trigger that goes out there, I got to ask this question. Or I got to, and a lot of people, and I was this way before you got trained in coaching, I was this way probably too. You're hearing, but you're not really listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are hardly ever like really listened to, right? Mm-hmm. And I think especially when we think about being an executive, like people, you know, may obey or may listen
right.
because they have to, but like actually listening to try and be a support system and trying to serve you as opposed to listening to try and get something out of you, right? So I think that that's a huge piece and a part of it as well is like the real coaches out there. The ones who are really passionate and doing it for the right reasons, they're doing it because it's kind of who they are anyway.
Right.
Like John has probably always been that coach type of person, you know, and I know I've always been that way with guys, and I always used to wonder, like, why does everybody just feel comfortable bringing their stuff to me?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was never disciplined enough or had the structure as far as how to like help them in this way now. I thought I was helping them and maybe encouraging them and uplifting them and saying nice things, which I truly meant. But now like having a structure behind how to do that, how to ask certain questions, how to walk someone down that path, you know, we all have patterns along our journey, right?
Right.
A lot of the times, you know, once you get past 25, 30 years old, you really, you know, go through something for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I had something that's similar to this in my past that I can lean back on and understand how I need to operate and how I need to function in this scenario. So that's just what happened there. And that's my buddy. So I want to be able to help and support anywhere I can. And I know he was grappling with that decision. Yeah.
It was a tough one. And y'all have done it to me. I think there's the practice quote of it. And then there's like just listening and being there and knowing someone's best. And I'm sure we talked about it. I know, Shivani, you're in a new, really awesome leadership experience. And Brandon, you've done all kinds of things. So we're going to turn it over to Nate here in a few minutes here. But before we do, I'd love to hear from you all, like this idea of growth and development. Like what has been some of your biggest growth, you know, what like occurrences in your career where you, whether you were in a program or did something, because it, you know, it can be a variety of ways where you get a chance to learn about yourself and your leadership.
Mm. Yeah, so I think the most impactful, whether it's executive coaching or just kind of leadership training, whatever it is, I think the most impactful for me have been being mindful of the things in my blind spots and things I don't know. And what I call it, I told you, the one program that's actualized leadership, guy Will Sparks in Charlotte does it, is what are your leadership shadows? So like, what is the wake that you're leaving behind you? Mm. And I don't think people always see that. And so you're very successful, but you have a path of body, like, I don't mean to be gory, but you have a path of destruction behind you because you're not cognizant of what you're doing to reach that success. And so one of the things that, you know, you go through this assessment, and my leadership style is very much focused on relationships, and I'm more focused on relationships than the actual outcome, but that can lead to not making tough decisions, being indecisive, not wanting to hurt people's feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That can also lead to you being more emotional when people don't include you in things, and so you have to be cognizant of that, and then moving towards making courageous decisions, but still respecting people for, I know this decision, Shivani, is going to be bad for you. I respect that, but this is why we have to make this decision, right? And so I thought that was really good. And it goes back to the informal coaching session you gave me where I talked about with Kirby, my wife, which was you were saying like all the stuff that you admired that I did in the community, And she said, well, that's detracting from stuff that we need you here. And so calibrating that and realizing, okay, I'm doing this stuff, but what am I leaving behind me? What am I not seeing? And I think that's been very impactful for me.
Yeah, so I actually get to hear that mini session on actualized leadership next week.
Nice.
Physician leadership.
What your leadership style is.
Exactly. I know. I filled out my survey. I'm very excited and interested to see the results. But I was struggling a lot with being really excited about various projects and kind of taking on roles, leading different things within the hospital system and within pediatrics and in the community, and realizing that in order to be more effective, I can have the passion and I can have those principles in place, but without some kind of tangible skills of really knowing myself and knowing, you know, what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, and not necessarily having to fix every weakness, but knowing how to kind of foster the program or foster an intervention or whatever it is with people who can kind of make up for those weaknesses on my team, and being able to lead charges so that it doesn't feel like it's a struggle all the time to just trying to find people who are agreeing or in alignment with the things that I feel passionate about. So I joined this Leadership Institute as a partnership with Atrium and Queen's University to just see, like, okay, let me see how I can build some of those skills on my own, but also thinking about how I engage other people and working kind of within a system and not against anything, right? So just being able to kind of work together and move forward and allow other people to see what I am passionate about and feel those same things and jump on board, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about what the outcomes of that will be, because I've been told many a time that I'm doing too much or I'm passionate about too much.
And I don't know anything about that.
Find a focus and say, like, okay, you know, if you're interested in this, you gotta go all in on that one thing and not try to be everywhere. But I have a really hard time doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard thing too. I find similarly is we've talked about, you know, when you have a caring, empathetic heart, because they're like one of my hardest leadership lessons was my first ever coach when I was 29 called me Zorro because he said I'm always trying to go help and save and I didn't like that at all. I didn't like hearing that.
Yeah.
And so there is sometimes where I love what you said, the word calibrate. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's that ongoing journey of, yeah, there's times I still fall into pleasing and catering, and but sometimes it can show up as very welcoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's this, as I get older, you start to learn, for me, when I'm sensing and truly being like welcoming versus when am I actually compromising my spirit and my own values?
Right.
Like, am I eating this extra helping of food when I know, you know, it's not going to feel well just because I want to make that person happy? That's not effective, right?
Right?
But, you know,
We've all been there.
We all do that, right?
I've done that.
Yeah, well, and sometimes intentionally, yeah, I'm going to be really full tonight, but I think you could apply that everywhere. Is like, I think, too, it is, I struggle with that, too, of the focus. And I think when you start to learn, when you have your own container and good people around you, too, that, you know, can help you like Kirby did to calibrate.
Right. Yeah. And then when I think about calibrate, I think about a word that we often use is balance, right? Mm-hmm. And balance can be tricky, and I like to use the rhythm instead, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times in our lives, like, usually something's out of balance, right? Something, we're sacrificing something to accomplish the next thing. So a lot of times, what's your best operating rhythm, you know, for you, for your family, right? And the understanding and communication that you all have, I think, is big. And then when we talk about just coaching in general, another big thing that came to mind, as we're all talking about different things we're working through and things of that nature, clarity is probably the biggest thing when it comes to coaching. You know, whatever that area is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're fighting to overcome, like, clarity is a huge piece. You know, when you're with a coach, you'll walk away from that situation clear on what steps you need to take to overcome this obstacle, right? What steps you need to take to become the best version of yourself? What steps you need to begin taking to begin bridging that gap that we discussed earlier? So I think that's a huge piece and something that I know a lot of us, you know, are in search for, right? And we desire to have is just clarity, because a lot of times if we know better, we'll do better. It doesn't always happen, but, yeah. you know, that's half the battle right there. If I clearly know what I should do, I'm more likely to do it.
Yeah. Hmm. I know you want to move on, but the rhythm versus balance, though, that is a great point. Because everybody searches for work-life balance, and the truth is, at the same time, they might not balance, but you go through periods of really intense work or whatever you do professionally, and then whatever it is to take care of yourself, lifestyle, where that's neglected for a while, but then it kind of you find this rhythm that you're going through this cycle, and then you'll be back to, you know, having a place where you can take a breath. So I really like that.
Definitely.
One of my mentors had told me one time, like, you can be the best doctor, you can be the best mother, you can be the best wife, but you can't be all of them at the same time.
That's right.
Like, not on all on one day.
Yeah. That's right.
Love that. Rhythm and balance. And I've got a lot of rhythm with music and
dance. We know that. We've seen it.
That's good.
I'm a witness.
Well, Nate, we're gonna turn it over to you, you know, just see what take us away.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, kick things off with a quick question. And most, you know, coaching sessions when you come in, it's all about the client, right, and what they want. But we're a little different in here, right? So I just want to ask a quick question and see if there's anyone that wants to share maybe an area of life where you have a gap between where it is that you are right now and where you know you're capable of being. And maybe you've been, you know, fighting through trying to overcome a barrier, a wall, or a hurdle that you haven't been able to. I know we all have something. It doesn't matter what we want to share.
I thought you were going to lead it first.
All right, I'll start here. You know, I think it is. I just had this lesson this week again, and Chavani said it around focus, where it's when something comes up that I feel like is important. And we were making a video, you know, about our welcome, you know, launch event. Yet I had two or three podcasts to review, and all of a sudden I'm just completely caught up in this other task. And I feel like that's something where my default sometimes is to say yes, of like, oh yeah, I can knock that out. And I know there's some of that old athlete in me where the answer is yes, and then you go grind it out. And I'm learning as I get older, there's a real cost to that. And I feel like sometimes I'm getting better, but I will say candidly that working on my own a lot is hard. And I don't necessarily always have that accountability structure where waking up to have those moments to journal, to be still, to walk my dog. That's like the first thing, like I skip, and then I get into the day, and then I'm going. So I think it is a process, and that's something I still continue to, like, when do you say yes to something? And I think I make sometimes some emotional decisions. They would say no, but I know I make that because I am just naturally wired as an emotional person. But a good friend once said that you can't always bring emotion into business, right? And in your life, right? Because you know. So anyway, that's where I would say is the momentum to know around discernment, and when you're building a business, I will say when we're building this, like, there's so many opportunities and things you could be doing. So it's part discernment, part surrendering. I'm really focused on that, and I'm struggling sometimes with it. It works, but I'm learning lessons the hard way. So I guess momentum around surrender and discernment.
So if you were to do well in this area and improve in this area, what would be the ideal outcome?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's pacing as we're talking through this is learning to pace, or learning to say, hey, that newsletter, I think it's thinking through things more broadly. Like, I tend to say, oh yeah, I'll get it. We'll just knock that out. And it produces a lot of good results. You know, my business coach said, you've produced a lot of stuff. But my job in life is not to be all about producing. You know, I want to live, right? And I want to enjoy. And I don't, kicking off this newsletter or doing this video before going away would create, a, for me, some anxiety of what's happening. I'm not there to monitor. Like, it just, it's not set up well. So I think in the ideal state, it's understanding how to pace things better. And when to say, we will do that, not this week, but in 2 weeks. Or putting that on the shelf.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I guess, how important is it to you that you overcome this thing that you're battling with and be able to reach that ideal state that you just mentioned?
My first reaction is it's pretty important. It put it 7, 8. I mean, it's not like the pressing thing. It's just something I've continued to sort of, you know, I'm on a journey with, I would say.
And then at what point, I guess, along your journey have you feel like you've done well in this area? Like, where have you had, we spoke about rhythm and balance, where have you had a rhythm where you felt like, man, things are flowing, I'm not doing a lot of stuff that's, you know, not in my comfort zone or not within, you know, my core values and what I desire to do? I guess, when have you felt like that and felt like you've been in a good rhythm and had that going in your life?
It's a great question. I really would point everything back to sleep. And that when I haven't slept well, I'm tired, and then that's when like I just I'm off a little bit. And so when I've committed to those habits, like I've been restudying a lot around habits, not goals, right? Because, like, you know, James Clear at Atomic Habits will say, like, well, hey, Brandon and I, we have the same goal. The difference is what's our process, right? What are we committed to? So yeah, I think when I've been successful, it's sticking to that and knowing like I need to get my butt up to bed because if I watch that extra show or I stay later hanging with friends till 10:30, 11, I'm not going to get the morning routine and probably won't. It's less of the routine. It's that I'm going to be off when it comes to making big decisions.
And then what does that do for you when you think about, all right, if I get more sleep, if I'm, you know, showing up as my best self, how does that not only impact you, but impact those around you and impact the goals that you have in front of yourself moving forward as well?
Yeah, I mean, it probably makes things easier on our teammates. You know, Brandy is not here, but she had told me a week ago that launching the newsletter tomorrow was not a good idea.
You didn't tell us that part.
No, she didn't say that. Brandy knows how to, I'll quote, manage me really well. She just says, is that the best idea before you leave? And I realize now that I went into athlete mode of like, oh, yeah, which part of my other counterproductive behavior is proving. You know, because I've been doubted a lot from growing up and being undersized and a lot of those things is I was always used to being like, I don't know if you belong here. And so my defense mechanism is, all right, I'll prove to you. I will outwork every person here. Right. You can hear even my get entered like, but that's not me. That's this like other gear that if that gets overcooked, it's, you know, it's not ideal to me. Because now I'm not paying attention to myself.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love it. I love it. One last thing I want to ask as well. So, you know, life is all about decisions, right? So every time we decide to do one thing, we're telling something else no, right? So when you think about that and you think about your journey and where you are right now, how do you go about prioritizing when it comes to these goals and the things that you have in mind that you want to get done? When it comes to, hey, whether I should go to bed or not, right? Like, how do you go about prioritizing and how does that play out typically with you?
Well, I think sometimes when I create the right boundaries, like I'm not a big TV person, but if I get, I've been watching, you know, an Apple Plus show called The Morning Show. And it's good show. Like one of those, it is like, you know, I've never done crack, but, you know, it's like, oh my, I gotta watch it again. And then they auto, and you see how our society is built around kind of just being in front of screens. And so I'm learning that sometimes there's willpower that maybe the thing to do is for 4 days a week or five, like the TV's unplugged. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I create more friction, that's when I've done well. Mm. Like when I don't bring the phone in, because the hardest thing I have is getting up to bed. It is. And I wonder sometimes too, though, what is it that I'm craving or needing, or did I not create enough space for myself? So I'm needing that hour, or let me just go check out because my mind's been racing about stuff. So that's part of what I'm exploring is, what is it that show is giving me, and how do I put some boundaries around it? You know, one friend said, only watch half a show, or watch half a show and then, you know, watch the next one. So that way you're not to the, but that's hard
that's
too.
Yeah,
so I'm struck with, I'm not sure I'm the kind of person, because I'm a very curious person, that's a good success for me. Like, so what is, maybe there's days I slot, like, hey, this is movie night. I got two of them. And the other nights the TV's unplugged because I can't sit back and do that. So, I don't know if that makes sense.
Understood. So when you think about this space where you are right now, I guess how long has this been something that you've battled with when it comes to allowing sleep to kind of leak into your day and mess up kind of where you're striving to get to?
So it's like a hit or miss. There's times where I'm like really good about it. It's tight. And then I fall off the wagon.
Yeah. So in those moments when you did well with it, what was going on in those moments in your life, and why was it so important for you to get to bed then and not at other times?
I can tell you right away. I think now, because I'm doing a lot of more creative work, which is related to me. If like I had a coaching session or facilitation session and I knew I had to be somewhere at like 8, I knew I had to be ready and well for that, because someone was depending upon me, it was much easier for me to get to bed. And so if it's related to stuff that's just John writing a book, John doing this, I'm much more wishy-washy.
Gotcha. Yeah. So with that understanding, what would you say would be a good next step, right? The best way to eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So when we think about this thing that we're working through, what would you see as a positive next step to move you in the right direction as far as being more consistent in this space?
You know, it takes me back to something that I remember. It was a great book called The Four Tendencies, and this was helpful. And I fall into, there's tendencies around internal and external expectations, and I fall into what they call an obliger, which is where I'm really good at external expectations, not as good as my own ones. So the way I can solve for that is through accountability. Because like this morning, I would never get up to play tennis, but I was meeting a guy there for a lesson. So heck yeah, I was there at 7:30. Yeah. And that works. So I wonder how I can create some fun accountability structures, because too much feels like I'm forcing it, and it feels like I'm taking my personal freedom away. But I just wonder, how do I replicate that? Because it doesn't seem to work even if I tell a friend, like, hey, I'm going to get you that document. Well, then I renegotiate it, you know? Right. How do I create fun and good practices towards those things? Like being on a team. Like, I can do it if I'm on a team.
Yeah.
But right now, some of the things I'm doing are more individual focused.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. And then I guess last thing, when you think about the importance of getting up early, going to bed on time, and the impact that can have, why are some of those things and the things that you're working towards, like some of these goals, like this podcast, the newsletter, and different things of that nature. When you think about showing up as your best self for those, why are those things important to you in the first place? And what impact are those things going to have if done correctly?
Yeah, it just occurred to me that one of the action steps could be creating like a couple questions. Like, instead of, I just thought the video from the event was so good. And that was definitely an emotional decision. Where I didn't think through, is this needed?
Mm-hmm.
What's the return on this?
Mm-hmm.
What might occur to me if I don't let it go?
Mm.
And last night, I finally hit me that I've got to let go. The newsletter does not need to go out.
Mm.
And there was this weight off my back.
mm-hmm.
And so the cost is that I'm getting ready to go to Paris, and like this happens all the time. I go on vacations, and I show up to places, and I'm exhausted. Because like leaving town was crazy,
because
it's saying yes. And I made some progress. Someone asked to interview me for this, you know, coffee shop thing they're doing, and they called 2 days in advance, and I said, I can't. I cannot give that. My focus right now is making sure that this podcast is excellent and it's consistent.
Mm.
So that helped me.
Mm.
But I think another practice is, you've shared this with me, Brandon and Chavani, too, is just sleeping on it.
Sorry.
And maybe something, knowing like not to make any important decisions like in the afternoon or night. Because I tend to be tired then, and that's when I sort of just say, oh, I'll figure this out.
Mm.
And I remember asking LP7, one of the artists, if she wanted to help with the video, and she was very clear. She's like, I'm fully committed Monday and Tuesday.
Mm.
And she was producing songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, whoa, I can actually say to myself, I'm already fully committed?
Mm. Yeah.
And that's so foreign to me.
Mm. Mm. No, I love that. Love that. So when you mentioned the questions, the last thing, I guess, what does that look like for you? When you think about coming up with questions that could help you in those situations, I guess, what does that look like? What does the ideal scenario look like for you moving forward?
Yeah, I would say, can this happen now or later?
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing these down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching, if you're audio, I love
development happening.
I love black wing pencils, too, and soft paper. This is a journal that Brian Collier told me about. Okay, I'll stop. I think what's the cost, too,
mm-hmm.
of adding that in now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when can it be paced further out?
Mm-hmm.
And then a big one, am I rested right now?
Mm.
Am I in a really good place to make a pretty... And do I have the last one is, do I have experience in this?
Mm.
So splicing videos on iMovie, nope, definitely not. And it was painful, painful. I was going, let me go to the coffee shop. There's like 10 more. It's so good though.
Mm.
And so I think learning that. If the help and support I probably usually would get is booked up for the deadline, I got to stop saying it has to be me then.
Mm. Mm.
The answer is probably I need to pace this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Or there's a third way.
Love it. Love it. So yeah. Moving forward, when asked to do something, when, you know, considering things, when prioritizing, you're going to use that list of questions to kind of help you with your decision-making process.
And ping one of these two as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, that's great.
That's
so
good.
Yeah. Oh. So.
Who else? Well, I'm curious what you all, not to ask more, but just like, is there a version of that for you?
Man, certainly. I think the idea of focusing and not always saying yes and always agreeing to things because it feels good or it mm-hmm. feels important in the moment. Is not something I always struggle with, right? Someone says, hey, we have this problem. This kid has this going on. Like, yes, let's figure this out. And not just for this kid, let's figure it out for more kids.
Mm.
And it all feels really important. And it feels like it's on my shoulders, or I put them on my shoulders to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes remembering that there is an entire team who could also be thinking about these problems and to share some of that wealth is really important.
Yeah.
But knowing how to say no, and not fearing that that's the no that could have opened a door for you.
Yes. Mm. That's
right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Or could have done something important.
Yeah.
Is hard. And then amongst all of that, then saying, like, well, all these things feel really important, but my family is also really important. And how do I not take away from that in my own self?
Yeah. No, I love it. To that, I'd ask, I guess, when has saying no like gone wrong for you?
Without giving too many details. So I've said yes to something. Mm-hmm. Sorry, when has saying no gone wrong? Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to maybe like write a book for a medical chapter of some sort. And mm-hmm. while it's not something that was at all exciting or interesting for me, I'm learning now that has value in professional development, mm-hmm. right? Having your name attached to something like that is mm-hmm. important. And without those check boxes checked off, it's really hard to advance in my profession. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not something at all that I have any interest or passion in. I don't want to sit and write journal articles or chapters. It's not something that brings me any joy or value, but I'm trying to learn how I can mesh the things that I am interested in into that value structure that exists within my system.
No, I love it. How do you go about making that decision when it's something that's not tied to my passion, not tied to my gifts and my skills, but it's something that's tied to my role and the growth that I want to see? Like, how do you decide whether, hey, this is something I just got to suck it up and do, or I'm not doing this? Like when you said no, I guess, how do you make that decision?
Yeah, I think, early on, I think I was told you got to say a couple of yeses in order to start getting your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I said enough yeses to at least have, my name known mm-hmm. to be able to be something that, or to move a little bit of work, but it's still not the checks and balances, right? It's not the things that people normally would put on their CV in my stage of the career. And so I struggle with it because it's not something that I want to spend my time doing. And I'm already stretched so far.
Yeah.
That to say no to something that I'm really passionate about is really hard.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Mm. I have a similar issue with saying no. But I think what also is paired with it, which is something, Siobhan, you mentioned towards the end, is it's mixed with a FOMO, a fear of missing mm-hmm. out. And so it's like, yeah, I could say no, but that looks so interesting. I want to do it anyway. I feel like I can do all this. Like, go back to your point of just going into hyperdrive. So I think that's something that I'm wrestling with, is like, it's okay to just let that go off and, maybe it circle backs and I get involved in some aspect of it down the road. It's very exciting. I don't want to say no, but it's less people-pleasing, I think, the more I evaluate it, and more of, like, I don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Like you're saying, I don't know, not necessarily this may turn into something, but it's exciting at the very least. And so being more cognizant about, it's okay for that thing to go off and grow without me being involved, right? Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
I think sometimes there's a level of urgency, right?
Like, yeah.
When I see what other people are doing, and I'm like, oh, that looks so exciting. And then I have to think to myself, like, they've been doing this for way longer than I have. Like, I don't need to be at their level. They don't have little children running around at home anymore. They've got older grown children. They can probably spare a little bit more time.
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about FOMO, right, the fear of missing out, for both of you, when it comes to the book opportunity and then for you saying no as well, how much of an impact, how much different would your journey have been right now if you said yes in those moments, right? And a lot of, I guess, answer that question for me first. Like, what did you really miss out on?
Yeah, the moments that I thought, probably not. I didn't notice at the time, mm-hmm. but I notice it now that I am feeling much more settled. I'm able to balance a lot more things. I'm very thoughtful about what I choose. Mm. And so I think I actually didn't miss out on anything if I would, by saying no. I think actually it probably freed me up to do the things that I said yes to a lot better. And one of the things, kind of the hybrid or in between I'm figuring out, is I can say no, but I can share that with someone else who doesn't have the opportunity. And I feel like I'm somewhat connected to that. Mm-hmm. And so it's still like, well, at least I know someone else is getting this great opportunity to do this, and I can hear about the great stories that are going out of that. So that's kind of where I landed. But to answer your question, wasn't really giving up much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, I love you. I'll say that's like a huge insight for me. When you said that, Shivani, of the, what might I miss? Mm. Or that's the same process when someone mentioned you want to be in this video, and it was like 2 days notice, and I wrote down, if I'm not careful, I'll be searching for the constant big break. And that's not why we're doing this,
right?
We're doing this for this, right? We're doing this for, it's a beautiful day and I get to come hang out with two of my best friends and talk to you, Nate, and record and this, right? Yeah. And that I'm learning that I've got to be careful to not I used to say to myself a lot, no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring that back into my world because there aren't any shortcuts, right, to doing great things. And the video that was great from Friday, like, oh, yeah, this could be a big break. Someone could see this and then something could happen. And you know what? I think the opportunities will open up when I and we are ready. Mm. And when we've put that work in and commitment. So I'm just reminding myself that there are no shortcuts.
Yeah.
And if you're searching, I say, if I'm constantly searching for that big break, I will say yes to all those random things versus like, hey, we're recording this week. Mm. We're working on a book. We're working on writing. Like, it's already happening, right? Mm. It happens if you stick to those things. So thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think and those are powerful points. And the reason why I ask those questions is because we often fear things that would never happen in our lives, right?
That's true.
You know, I fear I'm missing out on something. It has had no impact on the journey that you've
That's
had
right.
and you being the man that you are right now. Same thing for you, Shivani. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times we get these things in our mind. But the one thing that I want to encourage you all to do moving forward is to continue trusting that instinct, right? You had that instinct in you that, like, oh, that's probably not for me, right? That's
right.
there for a reason. We have to learn to trust that and to honor that, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing for you. So I just encourage us as leaders to do that. And I know for me, as a coach, sometimes you have to pull back on instinct sometimes because we want to be able to just throw out the answers, right? So. You know, I had some ideas in my mind of what I could have thrown at John. Hey, man, maybe if you did this, maybe if you did that.
Right.
But I have to hold back because ultimately I recently read, and it's something that I firmly believe, and I constantly am trying to remind myself of, is he can come up with better answers for his solutions than I ever can, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And it's my job to help him arrive at that point, right, of where he comes up with this idea that he understands the way he operates. And, hey, with how I'm operating and where I've done the best in the past, this is something I think will definitely work for me.
Yeah.
That'll be 10 times better than anything I can throw on this plate, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that I constantly have to challenge myself as someone who wants to serve and help, but also just taking a back seat in those client conversations and really being in tune with that individual, what they're saying, and helping to pull those things out of them, because that's when they're more likely to complete the action item that we place in front of them. So that's a big piece, is, you know, trusting my instinct, but in that situation, I have to trust John's instinct, right?
Okay.
I have to be one with John in that moment, right?
A lot of trust.
Well, I did. My album is coming out, so a lot of trust. No, well, and I think trusting yourself, right? Like
yeah.
you said, like trusting yourself that the right answer will emerge. And, you know, as we're wrapping up today, yeah. you know, I'd love to hear from our team here just, you know, what you're taking away. And then Nate, love to give you the last word and let people know before we get to that, like where can people find you? Like, how do they work with you? Like, how does that work? Like, how do they contact you?
Perfect. They can contact me on my website. It's www.audiblecoachingandconsulting.com. I'm on social media, all social media outlets at the Audible Coach. And you know, that's the easiest way to find me. So you can go on my website. I have an email list as well, where I send out, inspirational and motivational messages. I call Audible Minute Mondays. I send out, a video that is inspirational on Mondays. And then I send out a Thursday inspiration, which is typically a quote with some, you know, thoughts tied to it as well, just to kind of keep people encouraged and inspired. So that's a way to keep in touch with me. And if you ever want to work with me, my contact information is on my website. You can contact me through social media as well. Direct message me. I would love to speak with you about whatever the area is in your life where you're feeling like there's a gap, right? And you want to fill that gap. I want to be able to support, encourage, and help hold you accountable as we walk alongside one another on your journey. So that's the ultimate goal. And look forward to hearing from you at some point.
Love that. And we'll put all your info in the show notes so people can get that. So
yeah.
How about y'all?
Yeah. The first takeaway is that I think this is consistent with other episodes we have in the past. People should feel comfortable in seeking help and just ways to improve and get better mm-hmm. personally. And whether that's consulting, whether it's coaching, there's always something you learn. The second takeaway, I'm glad I sort of figured out what Nate was doing like towards halfway through. I was like, man, he's asking a lot of questions. But then I kept seeing John like write, and he was coming up with answers himself. And like, yeah, I could tell you were like prompting questions for him to figure out which fork in the road he was going to take. Mm-hmm. And so what I took away from that, I think just shows the value of you as executive coach that mm-hmm. you didn't, and it speaks to the naming of Audible Coaching. Mm-hmm. You didn't just come in with a plan. And this mm-hmm. is what I do. If a person says they're fear of missing out, this mm-hmm. is what the plan will be. This, you go down this route for that. But you regularly said, okay, John's going down this. Let's see where he goes. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was powerful. And then I just think this listening. Mm. Like, we don't listen to people enough. To like, really what they're saying, not what I want to tell you, but just listening to what they're saying. So that's what I took away. Mm. Yeah. And that's a leadership gift, too, to be able to listen to people. Genuinely.
For sure. I really just enjoyed watching that process unfold as well. Just kind of hearing all the questions, and you never really even answer. You just said, you figure it out, and it helps me realize that oftentimes we do know the answers. Mm. We do have it inside of us at some point. We just need the right person to help us draw it out of ourselves and have the confidence to say it out loud and go through that journey and that process with someone who's really good at listening and really thinking and responding in a way that's truly getting at your core values and your principles as well. So I appreciated that. And really the idea of trusting yourself, trusting a person with your inner thoughts and fears and feelings, but also just trusting your own instinct and saying, okay, I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I can do this.
I love that. Well, I'm just laughing because I was trying to wait you both out to say, oh, yeah, what do y'all go today? Yeah. And then both of y'all like, turned away, and I was like, dang, did they plan this? Yeah. But no, I'm struck too that we learn so much too. We say a lot here that we're just revealing what's already there. We're learning in community. You know, you working with me, but then Shivani, you sharing something. Like, I think that's the beauty of when you are with people. It's like, oh, hey, what's my version of that? I do that too. And that having people to navigate this with is what it's all part of. And like you said, Nate, I think that's what you do so well. And I recommend to anyone who's selecting a coach, there's a lot of people that do different types and things out there. But the first thing is, like, find someone who really honors, you know, has high character. And I think that's pretty important. And you know, that's one of the reasons I've worked with you and called you in that in that quandary. So man, thank you so much again. And just anything you want to say today, you know, I guess as what you got out of today, and close this in like 60 seconds or so, what you feeling?
Yeah, just thank y'all again for this opportunity to be able to kind of share in this way. I've never done this before, but this has been awesome. And I just want to share also, so, you know, it's not a coaching session if there aren't action items. So we're not walking out the door without something that we're working towards. Mm-hmm. And in that scenario, the goal would have been either we keep track of how often we don't honor that over the next month or however many, you know, weeks or days are going to be in between sessions. But I just want to make that clear that there are always action out of it, or else it's not a coaching. It's just a conversation. Mm-hmm. So, but the last thing I wanted to share, something that you touched on, Brandon, I think that is very important for everyone to understand, is that you are not alone. Like, you know, it's a very vulnerable place to be when we feel like we're on an island, when we feel like we're by ourselves. We are always better together, right? And I don't know why this has been hitting me recently, and it's something random. It may not make sense to some, but 1 + 1 = 2, but 1 and 1 = 11. Like, either way, we're greater together, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that we all need to kind of embrace. And a lot of times it's pride that gets in the way, or, hey, I'm too cool for this, or people may think I'm weak, whatever the case may be. We all need support. As a coach, I have people that coach me. I have mentors that pour into me, and I have the same thing that I'm doing for those that are coming up under me as well. So I just want to encourage people, you know, we don't have to go through this life alone, right? You're not alone. You're not on an island, especially in this season of life that we're all in and fighting through right now. It's very easy to feel like you're isolated, you know, and you're quarantining your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It feels that way sometimes. Right. You don't have to feel that way. You can reach out to someone like John, like myself, anyone, whether it's a close friend, family member, someone that believes in you, someone that loves you, has high character, and wants what's best for you, right? And sees things in you that you may not even see in yourself. That's the type of people you want to surround yourself with that can help to continue helping you grow and develop and becoming the full version of yourself and living the fulfilled life that you deserve. So,
Yeah. I know that was more than 60 seconds. I'm
hey,
sorry, man.
That's it, baby.
I love it. Worth every second.
A lot of dimes in there. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. We invite you to continue making room with us. You'll find this episode and all of our exciting and meaningful conversations on Apple, Spotify, or really anywhere you choose to listen to podcasts.
Join the Making Room movement and get more info at makingroomwithus.com or follow us on Instagram at Making Room With Us.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
You are wonderful and full of truth. Just as you are. Just as you are. You are wonderful, so full of truth. Just as full of truth, just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here, just as you are.